Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We'll be in depth with Ruth Hayden on how to find a good financial planner. First, it's time for the Climate Cast.
We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
Today on the Climate Cast, we're taking note of a letter that more than 300 scientists have signed that calls for continued participation in the Paris Climate Change Agreement. They're clearly concerned about the rhetoric coming from some members of the Republican Party and their opposition to the Paris Agreement. We're going to dig into what the candidates for president have been saying about Paris and climate change in general. ScienceDebate.org has been tracking this and other energy policy, and we're joined by Sean Otto. He's co-founder of ScienceDebate.org. Welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And for those of you listening this morning who care about energy policy and climate change, which, of course, I hope that's all of you, what's the question that you would ask the candidate? Let's say you were at the debate on Monday night. What's the question about climate change and energy policy that you would ask the candidates on Monday night at the debate? 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. Weigh in on Twitter, at Carrie NPR. Sean, just to clarify something here, the Paris Agreement is something that a new president with a different view could withdraw from, isn't it?
That's right. It's not binding. It's voluntary for the nations participating.
And what would happen, do you think, if, let's say, Donald Trump was elected, because I think he opposes the Paris Agreement? What might happen if the United States withdrew?
Well, the United States is really the big gorilla in the room there. So if it pulled out, there's a lot less incentive for the other countries in their energy approach to participate.
Let's talk about the fundamental differences in the way that Clinton and Trump see man-made climate change. Trump seems to have made a variety of different statements about whether he believes it's occurring. How do you understand his approach on climate change?
Well, you're right. He's really been all over the map, Carrie, and it's hard to tell exactly where he's at. Several years ago, he actually took out an ad supporting action on climate.
Right.
But since the second Obama term, he's really made several statements that have called it a hoax or BS. And in his answer to ScienceDebate.org, he put the term in scare quotes as if to suggest that it's not really real.
And do you understand his thinking for it not being real? I mean, you know, I've heard other candidates, Ted Cruz included, who will lay out an explanation about why they don't think it's real. Their science is wrong, but this is why they believe it. Do you have an understanding of why Donald Trump doesn't?
I don't. I think that in his case, and I don't think that anybody else does. The other policy people that I've talked to in Washington about this don't understand it either. And I think that it really comes down in his case to pure political calculation. It doesn't seem to be based on any philosophy or set of knowledge.
Tell me what Hillary Clinton told your organization specifically about climate change, and I believe she declared it one of the most urgent crises that the globe faces.
She has, yeah. She says that the science is crystal clear, and she sets three goals. She wants to cut our electricity use from carbon by half and install half a billion solar panels by the end of her first term. She also wants to cut energy waste in homes and buildings by a third and reduce consumption of oil in transportation.
I want to come back to this generating half of the United States' electricity through clean energy within 10 years. Is that really doable? Or is that just what people like your organization and others want to hear?
Well, I think that it's a little bit of both. She does lay out a fairly specific plan for getting there, although she doesn't mention a carbon tax, which is what economists say is really the only way that we're ultimately going to get on track to achieve the goals that we need. But she, through a combination of tax incentives and investment in research and deployment, she has a plan, about a $60 billion plan, to begin to move in that direction.
You know, she would have to, she'd have to make some substantial changes, which I know are starting to happen. but in the way that we use coal, if she was going to get there, wouldn't she?
Oh yeah, that's an enormous issue, and you know we're coal right now actually is being phased out in a lot of power plants just because natural gas through fracking is so cheap and plentiful. But in the long run, it's still there, and it's still cheaper than renewable energy, although not by much. And so I think that our thinking is that there, with a little bit of incentive, we can really push it in the right direction with solar adoption, because that has become so economically competitive.
Donald Trump responded to your organization by saying, perhaps the best use of our limited financial resources should be in dealing with making sure every person has clean water. He also talked about eliminating diseases like malaria. You know, it sounds like he's more focused on some of the tangential issues that are arising globally with climate change. Even if he doesn't believe in the specific science of it, he is looking at some of the consequences of it, isn't he?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what he's listing is all the consequences, even while he says that he doesn't necessarily agree that it's happening. So I think what we're seeing is he's maybe giving himself a little bit of wiggle room on this.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, by listing all these different consequences that perhaps we should be focusing on, like emerging diseases or the problem with clean water or some of the other aspects with food production. All of those things are directly impacted by climate change. So if he's saying that we really should be focusing on those, what he's really saying is we should be focusing on climate change, but I'm not going to use the term.
Okay, so wiggle room to maybe initiate some policies that address it, but as you say, not actually saying climate change is happening.
That's right, yeah. And I think that that's part of what we see in Hillary Clinton's response, too. She's not, for instance, talking about a carbon tax. And this is something that David Axelrod and John Podesta have talked about in the past, how in 2010, Obama's effort to get that passed really wound up handing a cudgel to the Republicans and cost him a lot in the 2010 elections.
Yeah. I mean, you even have Democrats, if Hillary Clinton would win and take up this idea of a carbon tax, you have Democrats that she could not rely on. I mean, this is something that when Americans hear carbon tax, they hear tax. And apparently there's a lot of Americans that don't like the idea of that.
There is, although recent polling shows that 70% of Democrats and 51% of Republicans would actually support a refundable carbon tax of some sort. But the problem comes in just in the way that some of our districts are gerrymandered to support certain candidates, and it drives them towards more conservative or more liberal positions, and it makes it easier for vested interests to game the system.
I wanted to ask you, Sean, about how President Obama has employed the EPA to make some pretty significant changes to regulations. In any of the questions that your organization asked about this, do you have a sense of whether either Trump, probably not Trump, but whether Clinton would continue the way Obama has deployed the EPA?
Yes, and actually there's a pretty marked difference between the two of them. Trump actually talks about abolishing the EPA, and Clinton would use it as part of her strategy. She would continue to use the Clean Air Act to create additional rules for emitters, particularly power plants and transportation, airlines, other large carbon emitters. This is something that Obama started doing after he lost the climate cap and trade battle in 2010. He started realizing that, you know, I can get to the same ends, maybe not quite as aggressively in another way, by using the Clean Air Act and going through the EPA.
And do you, given, I mean, it has worked its way through the courts, right, including to the Supreme Court. Do you think it's been effective?
It's kind of nibbling around the edges of the problem in the long run, Kerry. I don't think that it's going to get us where we need to go. Ultimately, we're going to be faced with this question of how do we get a carbon tax done? And it could be that that's something that Clinton could work on possibly in the second 2 years of her first term, where she elected. It's a risky strategy, but we need that kind of leadership at this point.
Did you ask about nuclear power?
We did, yeah.
What did the candidates say about that?
Both Clinton and Trump were in favor of continued support for nuclear power because it's a relatively carbon-free power source.
Huh. And Trump agrees with that as well.
Yes.
Except that it's extremely expensive to build new power plants in the United States.
That's right. And Clinton wants to invest in research in next-gen nuclear, more advanced nuclear, that will be a little bit safer and generate less fissile material. And hopefully that will be a way for her to streamline that kind of process, the regulatory process.
Two other questions here, Sean. What hasn't Obama accomplished that you think, beyond the carbon tax, let's say that, that you think really needs some urgent attention?
Well, the carbon tax is really the big thing, and this is where it breaks down politically. And it makes sense that it breaks down politically because you've got a Republican Party that that essentially has the philosophical idea that we should have personal responsibility and we shouldn't collectively impose regulations on people. But in this case, the science really shows that it's our collective activity that is causing this and that that's where we need to go in order to solve it. So that's the big political gorilla in the room that we're going to have to eventually wrestle with. What Obama hasn't done, I think, beyond that, he could have done more with renewable energy credits, but of course that requires congressional approval too. The only thing that he's left with is what he can do with existing laws, and I think that he's done a fairly aggressive job in the last 2 years of moving forward on that. It would have been great to see him do it a little bit earlier.
I mean, I was going to say, it does sound like you think President Obama, when it comes to environmental policy, has done what he could, given some of the congressional obstacles. Is that right or not?
That's right. He has to work within existing law because Congress has been opposing him on every single environmental measure with Republicans in control.
We've only been talking about climate science, but I know sciencedebate.org, you cover a lot of other scientific issues, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
How well do you believe the candidates have laid out their thinking on a lot of other scientific endeavor, genetic science, a lot of the different sciences?
They've done a fairly good job, although I would like to see them a little bit more detailed, and it would sure be great to have the opportunity to ask them in a live debate to follow up on some of these questions.
Yeah, what would you ask, Sean?
Oh, like on the climate question, for instance, I'd ask Donald Trump if the planet has warmed a degree Celsius in the last 100 years, or if humans are actually causing it. I'd like to really get him on the record on some of these scientifically verifiable bits of objective knowledge to see how well he uses evidence from science in his thought processes and decision making.
And what would you ask her?
I think that I'd push her on the climate tax and her reasons, talking about the politics of it, of why she isn't including that in her plan, because I think that it's important to for her to think a little bit broader and not nibble around the edges as much, even given the political realities of recalcitrant Congress.
So much to ask, so little time in that first debate, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons why we really push for this, because these issues are starting to affect voters' lives at least as much as the economic policy or the foreign policy or the faith and values you hear candidates talking about. But they don't really address them in any substantive way in the televised debate.
And I'm not sure that even given what you've said, that voters are fully aware of that.
No,
you know what
they're not.
You know what I'm saying is, you know, the ethics and the policy making around, well, let's just say genetic science, agricultural science. It doesn't seem to be front and center with voters until it is, I guess.
They don't think of it in those terms yet, and they don't realize how much of an impact these candidates are having in their daily lives on these issues. But that's why, you know, it's important to talk about this, Carrie. Science is just advancing so fast now that we really need to find more robust ways of incorporating it into our political dialogue, which is actually why programs like ClimateCast are so great. I really have to take my hat off to you and Paul Huttner for this program, which is really the only nationally produced regular program on climate.
I'll share a couple of tweets here with you, Sean, before we say goodbye. Burning River Farm says, I'd be interested to know how the candidates view changing farming policy to influence carbon sequestration in our ag soils. And North Caribou says, bottom line, makes no difference who's president. If the Congress doesn't change, we're screwed. And then Ned says, I'd like to ask the real Donald Trump why his resorts are concerned about the threat of climate change. Yeah, Ned's speaking there to the business community has basically advanced policies and making changes to account for climate change, even if the party to which many of them are aligned doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the issue, and that's the conundrum for Republicans right now, is this question about regulation and will the free market self-correct? And the evidence is showing that it needs help.
Sean, thank you.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
Sean Otto is a science debate co-founder and chair.